Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our December 22nd service. Our guest speaker is Joseph Bednarik. His sermon title is Sparkling Joy, Delicate Light, Huge Darkness. Thanks for listening.
The sun's gradual return can serve as a metaphor for renewal and gives us the opportunity to consider why we are Unitarian Universalists. We Unitarian Universalists have chosen seven principles as cornerstones of our faith. Unlike a creed, these principles describe how we wish to be human together and with each other and all of life. As each principle is read, please reflect on what it meant to you over the past year and what it will mean for you in the coming year. Let us renew our commitment to acknowledge the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Let us renew our commitment to desire justice, equity, and compassion for all. Let us renew our commitment to accept and encourage each individual's spiritual growth in our congregation. Let us renew our commitment to support each individual's free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Let us renew our commitment to the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process in our congregations and society at large. Let us renew our commitment to promote peace, liberty, and justice throughout the world community. Let us renew our commitment to respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part.
Good morning, everyone. There's some intense winter solstice sun coming through the windows, so if you actually need to move and shuffle around during the sermon as it shifts through the window, please do what you need to do to be you. Also, it was very interesting playing a lullaby during the offering. I'm curious to see how that works out when the numbers get counted up. Well, happy holidays and happy holy days. I love that interplay between holiday and holy day. And as we begin this morning's sermon, I would like to make one thing perfectly clear, and that is that I believe in Santa Claus. In the spirit of that core Unitarian Universalist principle of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, each Christmas season I revisit the issue and I open my heart and I open my imagination to the reality of Santa Claus. And each year, no matter how much quote-unquote real-world evidence stacks up against the great saint, during the darkest and coldest time of the year, Santa comes sneaking down my metaphysical chimney and leaves miraculous treasures in my stockings. Now, my belief in Santa was not always the case. There was a stretch in time during my 20s, early 20s, mid-20s, and late 20s, when I was a hard-headed unbeliever, and I scoffed at the idea. And then one summer, I went back home to visit my parents at their house in Western New York, and we set up a movie projector. Do you remember those movie projectors? And we watched old family movies, and one of which was Christmas, when I was 4, and Lyndon Johnson was in the White House. And there he was, Santa Claus, in the flesh, delivering me and my sister presents, preserved forever on Super 8 film. Now, Santa was amazingly real. In 3 dimensions, he was dressed in his red suit, his big black boots, his belt, and his big white beard. And if you looked close, his nose and glasses looked very much like my grandfather's nose and glasses. My grandfather, who unfortunately had to leave to go do a quick errand to the grocery store. But what's also in the movie is that when my grandfather came back from the store carrying the sack of groceries and me and my sister running to him, gesturing excitedly at all the toys that Santa had brought. Now, there was no sound on this little movie, only my grandfather's expression of surprise and his face just lighting up. Santa, I discovered that day in my 20s, is a shapeshifter. And after I had children, Santa began looking somewhat like me and my wife. And I knew that Santa existed when I saw my children's faces brighten at the various miracles he would pull off year after year. Now, I believe in Santa as fervently as I believe in the Unitarian Universalist principle of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And sometimes that responsible search leads straight into the truthful, capital T, truthful heart of an elder dressed in a red suit, embodying the spirit of generosity and encouraging the world to lighten up a little bit, to visit imagination and get down and play a little bit, to give one of the greatest gifts that the world has ever known, wonderment at mystery and the delight in helping create some. Now this morning, as we gather together inside the deep, mysterious, playful, festive heart of the winter holiday season, we in North America have recently celebrated or are looking forward to celebrating Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, beginning tonight, Kwanzaa, winter solstice, which just happened, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, for the Canadians, Boxing Day, and for the retailers and the shoppers, we've done Black Friday, we've done Cyber Monday, we've done Giving Tuesday. I don't know what happens on Wednesday or Thursday. In short, there is a lot going on. Feasts, and parties, and celebrations, gatherings, caroling, and in quiet moments, likely some wonderment about what the real meaning of it all is. Let's consider that phrase, real meaning, as we ease away from the longest night of the year. Let's keep in mind that phrase, real meaning, as we listen to this short poem by the great Norwegian poet Rolf Jacobsen, a man who, in Norway, was living very close to the Arctic Circle and knew in his bones what darkness and cold were all about. The poem is called Just Delicate Needles. It's so delicate, the light, and there's so little of it. The dark is huge, just delicate needles, the light in an endless night. And it has such a long way to go through such desolate space. So let's be gentle with it, cherish it, so it will come again in the morning, we hope. The perfect longest night of the year poem, especially considering that line, the dark is huge, because the dark is huge. The darkness of space, the darkness of the time before we were born, the darkness of the time after we die, the darkness of that night when a baby was born inside a barn amidst the very earthy smells of straw, rough lumber, piss, and dung, the darkness of that night accented and punctuated by starlight, stars that were used as maps, the guiding star leading three wise men, astrologers, to the barn. As it says in the Gospel of Matthew, quote, "And the star which they had seen at its rising went ahead of them until it stopped above the place where the baby or the child lay. At the sight of the star, they were overjoyed." Now, through our time together this morning, it is important to remember that the dark is huge and that there are billions and billions of stars, and some of them are guiding stars. All are delicate needles of light. And there is one very precious light, and that is yours. And therein lies the power of our chalice, a symbol of this religion, one small flame dancing atop one slender wick inside huge darkness. You're the flame. I'm the flame. We are the flame. Just delicate needles that light in an endless night. We, each and all, are those delicate needles. We each are light, our human consciousness, our warm skins, our brains, and our hearts that can be so beautifully and so generously on fire. In this holiday, holy day season, we are invited to cherish our light, to cherish the light of our loved ones, and the light of everyone sharing this endless night with us. As Unitarian Universalists, we are religiously committed to light through our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And that is a very well-written sentence, very well-considered, as every person rather than all people. Each light seen. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. And the phrase "every person" includes that poor boy who was born in a barn and whose divine light has touched billions. And the phrase "every person" includes a poor girl born in a tenement who struggles every day to fill her belly. Now, one of the most stunning holiday light stories is Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Match Girl. Briefly described, a desperately poor girl, barefoot in the bitter cold on New Year's Eve, finds shelter next to a building. She's in the huge darkness. She is trying to sell matches, but has sold none. If she goes home penniless, her father will beat her. This is not a comfortable place for a little girl to be in the holiday holy day season. How delicious it would be to light a match in this brutal cold. And so she does. When the flame ignites, she sees visions that warm her body, of a stove that warms her body. And then the light goes out. She ignites another, which reveals a great feast just behind the wall where she's fighting off the wind and the cold. And after that match goes out, she lights a third, and this is how Hans Christian Andersen describes the scene. Quote, "Then she was sitting under the most beautiful Christmas tree. It was much larger and more beautiful than the one she had seen last Christmas through the glass door at the rich merchant's house. Thousands of candles burned on the green branches. The little girl reached both her hands toward them, and then the match went out. But the Christmas lights mounted higher. She saw them now as bright stars in the sky. One of them fell down, forming a long line of fire. Now someone is dying, thought the little girl, for her old grandmother, the only person who had loved her and who was now dead, had told her that when a star fell down, a soul rose to God." Now, Hans Christian Andersen sets an amazing scene. And then the cold, penniless girl lights the entire bundle of matches and sees in that great blaze her grandmother, who lifts the little girl in her arms, and they fly off to a place of bright warmth and radiance. In the morning, The body of that little girl is found frozen, clutching a bundle of burned matches. And there's this mysterious smile frozen on her face. Now, this problematic holiday, holy day story that I have the audacity to bring to your attention on the Sunday of joy, it has haunted me my whole reading life. I remember at age 8 or 9 reading some version of this story in one of those big print kids' books and weeping with deep sorrow for the little match girl. I mean, real tears and real sorrow. The story made me so incredibly sad. Crying for her bare feet, crying for the bitter cold she felt, crying for that warm, loving home she never knew, while I sat inside one reading her story. And while I knew rationally that the little match girl was a fiction, I also knew that there were millions, if not billions, of little match girls the world over. And crying, because just inside that wall where she was standing, there was a great feast and a roast goose and all the trimmings. How unfair is that? And while a wall can be protection for those on the inside, it can also be part of the huge darkness for those on the outside. And consider the lights of this holiday story. Christmas tree lights, the falling star, the stars themselves, and most vividly, the matches. The matches for this little girl represent everything, from her livelihood to the source of her visions, and her matches were those worldly items that she clutched as she froze to death. Now, in my house growing up, we had a fireplace, so we always had a supply of stick matches, and I recall being inspired by the story to take a handful of matches and went to the night outside and lit them all in a bundle like the little match girl. There was this intense sputtering and blaze, and for that moment there was nothing on earth that was brighter or more intense. And my gift to you in this holiday, holy day season is a bundle of matches. In the foyer outside, you'll find little wooden bowls with bundles of matches. Those are my holiday gift for you. And my gift is for you to go find that story during one of these long solstice weeknights, and then go outside. Go outside the protective walls of your home. Go outside in your shirt sleeves and feel that chill. That was not an intended cough after the line, feel your chill. Now imagine trying to make a living selling matches. Look up into that sky and see whether there are any stars that are visible. Those could be Jakobson's stars. Those could be the wise men's stars. Those could be your stars. And with luck, you might see one streak across the sky. And is it true that the little match girl's grandmother is right? That a soul is now rising to God? Quite likely. And then light a single match and watch that flame until it goes out. So light a single match and watch that flame until it goes out. Feel that chill. Then light another match and watch until that flame goes out. And imagine that all you have in the world are those matches. Feel that chill in the huge dark. And with the story fresh in your mind, with two small flames fresh in your mind, standing in the heart of an abundant holiday season, ignite the entire bundle and watch that glorious fire catch and sizzle, spread and consume. And imagine that half-frozen match girl watching her blaze and within it seeing, in her dying, the only person who ever loved her. Do this all, and please do not catch yourself a death of cold. Now, a match is pure potential. It is one of those technological advances that has essentially become mundane. It's become invisible. Though it's interesting to point out that when Hans Christian Andersen wrote The Little Match Girl in 1845, matches were essentially a new commercial invention. And like the mundane match, all babies are pure potential. Even poor babies born in a barn or a tenement. And the light of a single match can do so much. And here is a miraculous fact. All the stars that you can see in the night sky equals all the matches that have ever been produced, which equals all the babies which have ever been born. Vast equals vast equals vast. And here is another miraculous fact. The match can only be lit exactly as many times as you will live. Once. And so we began this sermon with a brief story about Santa Claus and my grandfather. Now, my grandfather, on my mother's side, went to church twice a year, Easter and Christmas Eve, and the Christmas Eve candlelight service around midnight. Now, when I think of the Christmas holiday, one of my greatest memories every year is sitting in Emmanuel Lutheran Church with my family near midnight and concluding the Christmas Eve candlelight service with the singing of Silent Night. Now, everyone in the congregation, what will happen also here in this sanctuary, everyone had been given a small white candle, and from one small flame that had been started from one match and went with the ushers, they walked down the aisle and lit everyone's candle, and then silently down each row, person to person to person to person, candles were lit, one by one by one by one. I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. And inside that huge darkness of the midnight sanctuary, hundreds of delicate lights burned hot on the end of a slender wick. It was a big deal for us kids because we were allowed to hold fire. We each and all were careful and gentle with our flames, with our delicate light. And once the sanctuary was filled with people holding lit candles, the darkness, that huge darkness, was softened, and we sang the ancient song a cappella. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And each midnight on Christmas Eve, I would look at my grandfather singing, and there would be tears streaming down his face. The only time in my life when I ever saw my grandfather cry were on those Christmas Eve services. This man, who I loved, who died in my arms, racked with cancer, would moan, would writhe, but he never, ever cried. Now, on those Christmas Eve services, he never explained why those tears came. My guess is that his reason was beyond words. The tears and the singing, the candles, and this family explained enough. This old man, born as poor as Jesus, who was placed in an orphanage when he was young because his family could not afford to feed him, who was forced to work as a child, much like the little match girl, who, through the miracle of love, the diligence of hard work, raised a daughter who became my mother. Flame, touching flame, touching flame, touching flame. And each year, that old man's face, lit by candlelight, tears sparkling, glistening as we sang radiant beams from thy holy face. So delicate, the light. There is so little of it. The dark is huge. Just delicate needles, the light in an endless night, and it has such a long way to go through such desolate space. So let's be gentle with it. Cherish it, so it will come again in the morning. We hope. As we ease away from the longest night of the year, I wish you warmth and I wish you light. As the Hanukkah candles are lit this coming week, reflect on the reality of miracles. As we move ever closer to Christmas, may the exuberant generosity of that shape-shifting Santa Claus overwhelm your grumpy brain. As we move ever closer to the new year, may you realize that clocks and calendars are but one way to measure time, and someday you will have no time left. While today, right now, in this room called sanctuary, your time overflows in great abundance. Your flame is hot and your flame is bright. I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. Now is the time to celebrate the radiance in our lives, here and now, with our matches and our candles, in the warm, bright heart of these very holy days. Amen.